Okay, chapter 38 of Ezekiel. Many of you wait for this portion. If you are into Bible prophecies, you might have heard of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Even if you may not know what's all about, but somehow you get the feeling that it has something to do with the end time prophecies. You are exactly correct. Many Bible scholars believe that and consider that this section of Ezekiel to rank among the most difficult prophetic messages in Scripture for a couple of reasons. First one is identity of the place and the national name, the nation names, or kingdom names, whichever you want to call it. Second reason is the timing of the battle. Timing of the battle. Some identify this invasion by Magog as with the Battle of Armageddon. We will find out in chapter 39 this battle will happen at not the Valley of Megiddo, but rather it will be happen at the Valley of the Travelers, which is the east side of the Dead Sea. And Megiddo is the upper north west side of Israel. So the Battle of Armageddon mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 16 and 19, and there are two obviously different battlefields and two different battles. We'll talk about the Battle of Armageddon as time comes. By the way, I thought about maybe teaching both chapters in one time. And then the more I dig in, the more I realize this is something so rich that we can stay here quite a while. Other people, other Bible students have spiritualized Ezekiel 38 and 39, that it will not be the actual events, rather it's something the church will face as a difficulty during the Great Tribulation period. For those who agree with that concept, they are making two eschatological misinterpretation. In case you're wondering what the eschatological means, it's an end time prophecy. Eschatology means end time prophecy. Number one is the church, the body of Jesus Christ, will not go through the tribulation. It's known as a pre-tribulation. Any of you guys have mid-tribulation, the post-tribulation, or pan-tribulation? If you do, I have 12 reasons why it's a pre-tribulation. We already studied in the book of Revelation. Second point is the second reason why this is not a spiritualized event is the event in chapter 38, 39 will be actual events, not spiritualized one. Be careful how you spiritualize. Bible can be interpreted pretty much literally, and best way to interpret the Bible is what? Using Bible. Exactly. And we should not lose the main point of prophecy and the rest of prophecy in the Bible. J. Barton Payne's Encyclopedia of the Bible, Biblical Prophecy, lists the 1,239 prophecies in the Old Testament and 578 prophecies in the New Testament. Total is 1,817 prophecies in the Bible. Some people say 1,200, some people say 1,100, depending on how you count, I guess. But this encompasses 8,352 verses. God used all these biblical prophecies to prove, that is the main point, to prove that He alone is God, and while none of these so-called gods could not even do one. The nearest one is the Muhammad, who claimed to have a prophecy that he said he will go to Mecca. Wow. It's like, I'm going to go to home after the service. Really? That's not prophecy. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's not really good. If somebody said it and you do it without knowing about it, that's a prophecy. Like Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross. Did he have a choice how he died on the cross? No, not really. But he prophesied, and not only he himself prophesied, he was pretty much repeating what already the prediction was made. Go to the Isaiah 46 verse 9. Keep your finger on Ezekiel. Go to Isaiah. A few books to the left. Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of the old, for I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. Verse 10. This is very important. Declaring the end from the beginning. Is that the prophecy? And from the ancient time things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There it is. That is a pretty much definition of and the reason of the prophecy. Amen? We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 38, and we will start with the prayer. Father, there are many voices in the air. There are many voices from the pulpit declaring their truth, but a lot of times it's not truth. Father, we are not asking for you, man's opinion, but we are asking for your opinion and your truth only. Teach us and let us not fall into this sensation of the prophecy, prophetic study, but rather know who you are and follow you with all of our heart and mind and soul. And trust you as our Lord and our God. Father, teach us and open our heart to receive your truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 38, please. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the Son of Man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and put a hook into your jaw. That sounds very unpleasant. And lead you out, and with all your army, horses, horsemen, and all splendidly clothed, a great company with the bucklers. Do you know what the bucklers are? Shield is something you can carry in your hand. Buckler is a man-sized shield that pretty much covers the entire body. And you can link them side by side and you can advance and even the arrow cannot penetrate that. Arrows cannot penetrate them. Bucklers and shield, all of them handling sword. Persia, no, get that. Ethiopia, there you go, and Libya are with them, and all of them with a shield and helmet. Gomer, it's not Gomer pile, and all its troops in the house of Togarmah, and from the far north, and all its troops. Many people are with you. Obviously, Gog is the king of the land Magog, which is located between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. Many believe the Rosh, Meshach, and the Tubal are the region of Magog. So the coalition force of the Magog is quite impressive in human eyes. The first one is a Magog, the modern-day Russia. The Persia is a modern-day Iran. And Ethiopia is not the current Ethiopia because it's below the Sudan. It's the Ethiopia is modern-day Sudan. And then Libya is as it is. And then Gomer and Togarmah is modern-day Georgia. Don't sound as Georgia. It's just a regular Georgia. And Armenia and Azerbaijan, probably I put your name. Let me show you the map. Yeah, that place, exactly. The battle will happen here. Eventually we'll find out. Battle of Megiddo is right here. See the difference? But here's the Gomer and Togarmah here, and this is the Rosh and Meshech, and the Tubal is up here. Here's Libya, Sudan. If you notice something, Iran, Persia, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt are not involved. Even though they are Muslim countries, somehow they are not mentioned. They chose not to get in. Saudi Arabia probably don't want to get in because they have a oil reservoir that they don't want to destroy. Historically, Persia and Russia did not get along at all. As a matter of fact, they were arch enemy. And Persia had some access to grind against Russia for a long time because in the 17th century and the 18th century, they were in war, they were at war. And Russia beat them. And it was so bad that the Persia was not happy about it, and they, since then, they didn't want to have nothing to do with Russia. And that's why Sheikh of the Persian Empire was pro-America so much. Until Khomeini, you guys remember Khomeini?
Yes.
And he got into that. And now the Russia and Iran is practically bosom buddies since 2003. Since 2003, the Iran wants to be the nuclear country. So they contact Russia and asking for the help. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if the Russia and Iran make a full-blown military alliance with one another. Amongst the coalition of the force, as I mentioned, those countries not mentioned at this point. Here comes another interesting element in the whole thing. Number one, increase of Muslim within the Russian society and military. Did you know that? But this will surprise you. Let me give you some stats. Since the demise of the Soviet Union, there has been an exponential growth region of Islam in Russia. Russia had 300 mosques in 1991. Now they are counting about 8,000 mosques in 2005. And half of them were built by the foreign money, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. And there were not Islamic religious school in 1991. Now there are 50 to 60, and I'm sure there have been more since 2005. And they are teaching approximately about 50,000 students. Do you know the meaning of Hajj? H-A-J-J? It means that Islam pilgrim to the Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Every year, everybody go to the Mecca. In 1991, there were only 40 people, 40 Muslim traveling from Russia to Mecca. Now, 2005, there were 13,500 people traveled. Some predict that there will be a mosque on the Red Square in, you know, the Kremlin sitting right in front in near future. In addition to that, over 3 million Muslims live in Moscow. In other words, it's giving the Moscow as the biggest Muslim city in Europe. If that's bad enough, get this. According to some social sciences experts, by 2015, Muslims will make up the majority of the Russia's drafted military. By 2020, one-fifth of the population will be Muslim. That means that Russian military will become the most technologically advanced Muslim military in the world. That's not a good news for America. Unless Obama turned America to the Muslim again. All right, second point. Will Vladimir Putin's lust for the power ultimately lead him to invade Israel? If so, is it in what is in Israel that Putin wants? Russian army, they are probably second strongest for now. They are moving to the Ukraine. You guys know that. They already took the Crimea, the peninsula. You cannot watch any news program without seeing and hearing about them. And now they're setting themselves along the border of Ukraine. They're pretty much ready to attack. Now, Vladimir Putin has been in control of the Russia since 1999. Did you know? For 25 years, he's been in control. He became the premier and then president for two terms by constitution of Russia, which doesn't mean anything. So he became a prime minister, and then he had this puppet president whom was control. He had to ask Putin if he can go to bathroom. And then he resigned, of course, and Putin became a president. And he changed the constitution to the six-year term. He became a president again in 2012. So he will continue in power until 2018. Did you know that he was the lieutenant colonel of a KGB? He retired as a KGB officer and he got into politics. And Putin has cultivated He-Man and the superhero image, and he was boosting nationalism of Russia lately. In Russia, he is a very much hero because he increased the economy 71% instead of declining. In Putin's mind, when Obama and the European leaders say whatever and they threaten him, doesn't mean anything militarily while he's doing whatever he wants, because he knows that they are gutless to do anything against him and Russia other than talking. Fancy word is a diplomacy. Doesn't mean anything. During the Jimmy Carter's administration, entire world knew that America was nothing more than a paper tiger. On January 20th, 1981, Iran released 52 Americans who had been held hostage for 444 days, minutes after the presidency has passed from the Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan. The hostages were placed on the plane in Tehran as Ronald Reagan delivered his inaugural address, because Iranians knew very well that Reagan would bomb them immediately if they refused to release the hostage. Do you know how he could do that? Because American military had a strength. Get this, under the current administration, Obama and Secretary of Defense is reducing our country's military power to the pre-World War II. Did you get that? Pre-World War II. In other words, we will become tiger without teeth, tiger without claws. In other words, we're going to be a big kitty cat. What are we going to do? Meow? And nobody cares when the big cat without claws, big cat without the teeth, say meow. I believe that Russia will invade Israel, not because I know what's going on with the current events. I know because they will do it according to Bible. Not because I am such a scholar or the knowing the current event like all these people on the Fox News and the CNN News. But there is another benefit going into Israel for the Russia. Get this. From the Dead Sea water, Israel produced 1.77 million tons of potash. Potash. And 206,000 tons of elemental bromine and 44,900 tons of caustic soda, whatever that is, 25,000 tons of magnesium metal and potassium chloride, according to the 2001 report. Israeli companies generate around $3 billion annually from the sale of Dead Sea minerals, mainly potash, which is main element for the fertilizers. And you know that you use mixed fertilizer and cement and diesel fuel, you get to have a big size farm. It may not have a dramatic effect like a gasoline, but it destroys just about anything inside. Good example is happened at the Oklahoma City. Remember the federal building went down? Yeah. And from the other product that Russia would love to have. And that's not the only thing. In addition to that, in 2012, the Business Week estimated there are $240 billion worth of natural gas reserves available in Israel. $240 billion worth. You guys have that much money, right? Pocket change. Why don't you donate some? Some Bible critics will say, if this prophecy is real, why in the world is this army carrying sword, shield, and riding on the horse? This can be explained in a very simple two ways. Number one, these are not the weapons of modern day, but Ezekiel used the language of people of that generation and that could understand, and as well as something he could describe. If he had written about a jet plane, something flying in the air, nobody will understand. And he would have been a poor communicator. It's been said that if someone detonate a neutron bomb from the 250 miles above the Kansas City, which is located in the middle of the United States, this will create enough electromagnetic pulse to wipe out the entire electronic capability of the United States. This means no one can contact you unless you use the passage jackrabbit's smoke signal system. He still has it. As he lives, he will give it to you for free of charge. At this battle, if this battle is mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, happens during the 7-year Great Tribulation, remember, seven seals, seven bowls, and the seven trumpet calls, all of that are wrath of God, a judgment of God. During that time, many people will be killed, and many civilizations will be destroyed, and many building and the equipment will be destroyed. They may not have a whole lot of things to fight with, other than stick and stone and the sword they have. So they might, just like Einstein said, after World War III, people will go back to sticks and stones because that's all they have. Let's move to the verse 7, please. Prepare yourself and be ready, and you and all your companies that gather about you. Be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited. In the later years, you will come into the land that those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. And they were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, and coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud. And you and your troops, all your troops, and many people with you, thus says Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will rise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of the unwalled villages, and I'll go to peaceful people who will dwell safely. And all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a plunder and to take a booty, to stretch out your hands against the waste land and waste places that are again inhabited, against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, and who dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba, Dedan, and merchant of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take the plunder? And have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away livestock and goods, to take many plunders, to great plunders? Some Bible scholars believe that these young lions are representing Great Britain, because their symbol is a lion. But then again, if that's the case, Germany has a lion as a symbol. And there are many countries in Europe has a lion as a symbol. So I don't know if that's what it meant. If you notice in verse 13, I believe that what they're saying is nothing more than just mere talk. They are not trying to stop them militarily. I know what you're thinking by now. You're wondering, okay, when is this going to happen? How many of you thought about that? You're lying. I thought about it. We don't know. Just like when many well-known and respected biblical scholars believe that this will happen before the rapture. But I'm not one of them. And here's my argument. According to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, the nation of Israel will make an agreement with the head of the 10 nations of the European Union to protect them for 7 years so that they could rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And you're thinking, oh, I don't believe it. Okay, since you said that, go to Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people, for your holy city, that is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to the restore the build of Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Some people already lost there, right? And the street shall be built again, the wall even in the troublesome time. And after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. The people of Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with flood. And till end of the war, desolation are determined. Verse 27, I want you to pay attention here, please. Then he shall confirm what? Okay? I want you to know who this he is. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes a desolate. And even until the consummation, which is determined and is poured out on the desolate. If you are not into prophecy, you're doing this. I'm lost. Well, since you're lost, I have a chart for you. We are from the Daniel chapter 24 through 27. I cannot draw the entire portion, so I had to break down. Usually that means it's continuing, but we are going to shorten the length. Artaxerxes decreed March 5th, 444 BC. They are allowed to go back to Jerusalem. From that point, that's the time, 7 weeks, 49 years. 1 week is 7 years. 7 weeks, 49 years, and Jerusalem was rebuilt. After that, for 62 weeks, 424 years, triumphal entry of who? Jesus, March 30th, AD 33. The total amount of day is, because 360 days in Jewish calendar is 173,880 days. To the exact date. From that moment, this is the time of a Gentile. And then, beginning of a tribulation happened. 1 week, 7 years, which is a tribulation. Are you with me so far? And we are right here. We are very close. So if you are planning to sin against God next few days, I highly encourage you not to do it. Many Bible scholars believe that the Antichrist is currently living in Europe, already poising himself to be the next leader. And he's the kind of guy. He's the kind of guy who can put the square peg into the round hole diplomatically. Has a silver tongue that like no one can believe. At this point, Europe is filled with anti-Semitism, anti-Israel sentiment, and it's rising rapidly. As a matter of fact, in November 2003, it's been recorded. Majority of Europeans actually named Israel as the worst troublemaker, greatest threat to world peace, ahead of Iran and North Korea. And in order to silence Israel from, remember, Israel has a what? Nuke. They have a nuke. And they are not concerned about media. They are not concerned about the world opinion. They are concerned about one thing, their survival. If push comes to shove, they will drop that nuclear bomb wherever it's necessary. And don't think that they don't have a technology. They do. Do you know Silicon Valley and California are scared of the Tel Aviv and Israel? Because Tel Aviv eats them for lunch. The American computer scientists are scared of Israeli computer scientists. They are that good. I heard from the Israeli, I believe he was a major from the IDF. Said, why send the F-16 when we can send the virus? I thought, wow, what a great concept. That's what they did to the nuclear plant in Iran. Because they keep a low profile. They don't broadcast. Iranian, like all the other Arab people, they have a big mouth. They like to cause a lot of trouble. They attack Israel first, and Israel doesn't attack them with the same kinds of weapon. They attack them with a sledgehammer. And then, of course, they say, ow, 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 and then they go to the media. Have you ever had your baby sister, baby brother? They nag you and bother you, so you whack them, and they run to the mommy and daddy. Exact same concept. Is that what's happening all the time? We don't feel sorry for you anyway. Okay, then here's a perplexing question that's coming from people. Oh, by the way, did you notice that none of the countries coming to rescue for Israel? Only God? That's what we're going to find out. Here's a perplexing question. Why would God and his ally would attack Israel at all, knowing that the powerful European Union had promised to defend Israel? The overt purpose stated in verse 12 and 13 is to remove Israel from their headache list. European Union does not really want to help Europe, Israel, because the last thing they need is Israel, the self-defending country, declaring war against the Arab. And so if the Iranian or the Russian take over the complete control of Israel and Jerusalem, guess what the European Union is going to do? Cry for them? No. It's no skin off their nose. Besides, many European politicians are influenced by the vast Muslim borders. They are already controlled by the Muslim people. Whatever the King Gog's thinking might be, it's clear that it is the Lord who bring their army out against himself. King Gog think that he worked out all this wicked plan. But it is not him who is doing it. Remember, the Roman emperor said that we will do the census. Everybody go back to their own birthplace. And you have to register according to your clan, your tribe. So everybody had to travel during that time. Remember that? And so Joseph and Mary had to travel because they're from tribe of Judah and their clan of the David. So they had to travel to the Bethlehem. In his mind, he thought he was doing whatever he wants to do, but he was nothing more than pawn of God to carry out God's command. I don't know this Gog is a Putin or not. I wouldn't be surprised Putin will be taken out by next leader who will be controlled by the Muslim. That's why Iran and all these Muslim countries can embrace Russia without any problem. I could be wrong. But anyway, they get together, but it doesn't matter. What matters is everything is according to God's plan. That brings to them our, as a matter of fact, God is trying to get rid of this Iran and Russia coalition. So they are literally walking into a trap that made by God. That brings to one application for you guys. The world event is moving very fast in our eyes, but it is falling into its place according to Lord's time exactly. Don't close your Bible yet. Luke chapter 12, chapter 21. And now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head, because what? Your redemption draw near. Amen.